Good day. This is Greg, and I will be reading the commercial news and other Vermilion County news for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. And we'll start with the front page and a story entitled Flow Control, Aqua Illinois to replace 90-year-old dam gates. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. A more than $12.5 million Aqua Illinois project is moving forward this year and won't be noticed much by the public. Aqua Illinois in the new year is focusing on replacing the more than 90-year-old dam gates at the Lake Vermilion Dam at the end of Wilkin Avenue. The 11 steel gates are expected to be replaced by the end of the year. Some preliminary work started last year, such as doing a full structure analysis and tests and surveys, and Schnabel Engineering of Glen Allen, Virginia, is wrapping up design work on the project. The dam was built in 1925 to create a reservoir and recreational lake. In 1991, the 11 gates on the dam were extended when Lake Vermilion was raised by an additional 5 feet. Aqua Illinois Area Manager Bob Irvin said preparation work is being done to replace the gates as weather allows. The gated dam's 11 tainter gates, a type of radial arm floodgate, control water flow. The dam also has a high-level sluice gate through which water, sediment, and other debris flow through, Irvin said. The gates work electronically, he said. Over the years, seals have been replaced, cracks addressed, and patchwork completed. The 93-year-old dam is really in pretty good shape, Irvin said. But given all the changes and age of those gates, we felt it was time to replace and renovate those gates, he added. The exact cost of the project is undetermined. Irvin said it's expected to exceed the cost of the new water treatment plant that was built 25 years ago. Construction equipment will be placed in the lake during the work. There will be safety buoys and barriers placed near the dam during construction. Irvin said they will try to use as many local contractors as possible, but it requires specialized work. As soon as the weather changes, they'll start with the actual gate replacement, he said. Aqua sent letters to those living around the lake and near the dam to alert them of the construction work and roadway traffic. The impact on the more than 50,000 people who visit the lake should be minimal, such as any fluctuations in the lake level. We want to be as least disruptive as we can, Irvin said. The new gate project will preserve the lake for the public to enjoy its benefits for many generations to come. Irvin said any other capital improvement projects will be looked at more in another year. In 2020, we'll get back into other infrastructure, he said. Water main breaks haven't been as numerous so far this winter as in past years. However, a 16-inch water main on the east side of North Vermilion Street is seeing more breaks on the line than normal. Last year, Aqua received approval through the Illinois Commerce Commission for a rate increase. Local customers are paying about $1.81 more a month with that increase. Irvin said they don't anticipate filing another rate increase request with the ICC for 6 to 8 years. Prior to last year, Aqua's last local rate change occurred in February of 2012. Aqua also is in its fourth year of replacing its electronic radio reading devices on water meters. Other annual programs are hydrant flushing and valve exercises. Aqua is a public utility that provides water and sewer service to about 73,000 customers in 13 Illinois counties, including Vermilion County. Aqua is a wholly owned subsidiary of Aqua America Incorporated. Our next story is entitled DACC Seeks Unwanted Gifts. This is by Carol Rome. Danville. The holiday season might be over, but the memories and gifts tend to linger long after, especially the unwanted gift that wasn't one's taste, or the correct size, or maybe it was a duplicate. Maybe it's a candle that's not the right scent, or worse yet, a candle, candy, or nuts that causes an allergic reaction. It's not too late to unload that Christmas cast-off by donating it to the Danville Area Community College's Adult Education Division. This is the fourth year the division has been collecting discarded items during its annual regifting event. What might be a less-than-perfect gift for one person could be just the right item for someone else. Literacy coordinator Brandis Connor said she was impressed with the quality of the gifts that have been donated so far this year. Some of the gifts include a $25 McDonald's gift card, a slate brick wall fountain for one's desk, and a trash can basketball hoop, which prompted Connor to quip, "That guy wouldn't want that?" Donors have been a little more than 2 weeks, or I'm sorry, have a little more than 2 weeks to bring in items, Connor said. Any donated items should be new, unused, and non-perishable, and have a value of at least $5. Donations may be dropped off during normal business hours through Thursday, January 31st, at the Adult Education Office in room 118 of Prairie Hall. Each person who donates an item will receive a chance to win a $50 Visa gift card, with a drawing planned on Friday, February 1st. The new unused gifts will be given away as incentives throughout the school year for GED students and as awards for students who have perfect attendance and good behavior, Connor said. In addition, the donated items help out the Reader's Route, DACC's literacy program, which will use the items to fill the prize table at its annual Scrabble tournament, Scrabble for Literacy, that usually takes place in April. In the past, the college had to buy prizes or persuade businesses to donate items for the tournament, which is the literacy program's main fundraiser. There are cash prizes for first and second place, but these donated items are used as additional prizes, Connor said. There are multiple first place winners because there are multiple brackets. We need to have at least 25 prizes because we also use them as incentives for adult education students for attendance and conduct awards, she added. DACC's Adult Education Division also is in need of tutors. The next training session is at 1 p.m. Monday, February 11th at DACC's Prairie Hall. We need about 15 more volunteers, Connor said, adding that the 12 hours of training sessions will last about 3 weeks, with the class meeting once a week. The requirements to become a tutor include passing a DACC background test, possessing a high school diploma or GED, and being 18 years old or older. Being a teacher isn't required, she said. We'll give them the resources to be a successful tutor. And in another front page story related to donations, we have one entitled Shelters Thrift Store in Need of Donations by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. With more people using the Danville Rescue Mission in the winter and the Dayspring Women's and Children's Shelter also regularly seeing rooms filled, the more community donations are really needed. Brandon Page, with the Rescue Mission's Discipleship Program, and Pastor Danny Offit, director of the mission, said donations would be appreciated at both locations in addition to the thrift store. Offit said the Rescue Mission thrift store closed in November for some remodeling and reopened in December. It's now seeing people frequent it again. It's open from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Tuesday through Friday at 900 East Fairchild Street. Offit said one of the main items the thrift store could use is used furniture, and the shelters could use household and cleaning supplies, big time. Page said all sites and the discipleship program could use donations of food, money, furniture, clothing, and other items. Page quoted the Bible, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. In 2014, the Danville Rescue Mission chose to break free from the restraints of government funding so that it could be more Christ-centered and provide better ministry-minded programs. Since then, it has relied totally on the help of its faithful supporters. Without the donations of great supporters, there is no way the mission can make the impact that it's making, according to Page. Challenge yourself to be a monthly supporter to help see this vision come to pass. Thank you in advance, says Page. The men's shelter at 834 North Bowman Avenue has been seeing 25 to 30 men stay there at night. It has 80 beds. We've had great weather, Offit said, about the weather having been unusually nice. When it gets colder, the shelter numbers increase. The shelter also feeds meals twice a day at 12:30 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and at 4 p.m. on Sundays. The women's and children's shelter sees about 16 people stay there nightly. They stay full, Offit said. For more information about donating, contact Daniel Offit at 217-446-7223. Our next story is a staff report, and it's entitled Warrant Issued in City Murder Case. Danville police are looking for Jimmy R. Rogers in connection with the January 12th death of Willie Banks in Danville. Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said in a release that detectives working with the Vermilion County State's Attorney secured a first-degree murder arrest warrant for Rogers before noon on Monday. Rogers is described as a male, born February 24, 1991. Bond on the warrant is set at $5 million. Mr. Rogers is not in custody at this time, Thomason said in the release. Anyone with information as to his whereabouts are asked to contact the Danville Police Division Criminal Investigation Section. On Saturday, Thomason said police had been called to the 1600 block of Edgewood shortly after 5 a.m. Callers indicated that there was some sort of disturbance in the area, and when an officer arrived at one of the apartments, found the male victim, Thomason said in a release. Preliminary investigation indicates the 32-year-old man, Banks, was the victim of gunshot wounds. An autopsy was scheduled for Sunday, but results have not been released. The Danville Police Department and the Vermilion County Coroner's Office continue to investigate. Anyone with information about this or other crimes can contact the Danville Police or Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. DHS Welcomes Future Freshmen by Carol Rome. Danville. The class of 2023 was welcomed Monday morning at Danville High School. About 400 8th graders from North Ridge Middle School, who will be incoming freshmen in August, got a sneak peek of what opportunities lay ahead in high school during DHS's first Future Freshman Day. The 8th graders arrived at the high school in two separate groups. After being welcomed by administrators and counselors in the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium, the youngsters headed to the gym, where they visited an elective fair. This is something new we decided to do to let the 8th graders see what we have to offer, Amanda Campbell, an AVID, which is Achievement Via Individual Determination, and college and career counselor said. It also allows teachers to promote their courses. The youngsters were able to visit with DHS student ambassadors and teachers at tables promoting various electives, such as JROTC, Band of Vikings, New Tech, Foreign Languages, and Advanced Placement courses. Campbell said it was beneficial for the 8th graders to learn about the different electives available at DHS before registering for next year's classes. Starting next week, they'll start selecting their courses, including electives, Campbell said. We want them to be able to plan out their next 4 years and find out any prerequisites they'll need for any courses they might want to take in the future, she said. An incoming freshman parent night in the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium wrapped up the inaugural event Monday night. Assistant Principals DeMarco Wright and Jacob Bretz and Counselor Holly Lemire gave a presentation to the families. And now we'll turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. And the first is for Barbara Broom. Barbara Naomi Broom, 65, died January 11th, 2019 at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville, Illinois, after a courageous battle with breast cancer. A homecoming celebration will commence at noon, Thursday, January 17th, at Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, 619 East Voorhees Street, Danville. Visitation will be 11 a.m. until the time of services. Officiating will be Eric Simonson. Interment will be at Spring Hill Memorial Cemetery. Judy Catlett. Judy Catlett, 79, of Fairmount, Illinois, passed away at 2:30 p.m. Saturday, January 12, 2019, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Graveside rites will be at 2 p.m. Wednesday at Davis Cemetery, west of Fairmount. Reverend Mike Roberts will officiate. Memorials in her memory to First Baptist Church of Fairmount. The Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling service arrangements. Rosalie Bennett. Rosalie J. Bennett, 81, of Westville, passed away at 8:50 p.m. Friday, January 11, 2019, at the Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A funeral mass will be at 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, January 16, 2019, at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Westville. Burial will be in Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Visitation is from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Wednesday at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Westville. Memorials to St. Mary's Catholic Church in Westville. The Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling service details. Dorothy L. Davis. Dorothy Dottie L. Davis, 96, of Tilton, Illinois, passed away at 10:02 p.m. Friday, January 11, 2019, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville, Illinois. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Thursday, January 17th, at Robison Chapel in Catlin, Illinois, with Pastor David Leary officiating. Entombment to follow in Spring Hill Mausoleum, Danville. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, January 17th at Robison Chapel. Memorials to Colonial Manor Nursing Home Activities Department. Mary Torres. Mary Torres, 80, of Danville, died at 8:12 a.m. Monday, January 14, 2019, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And now we will move over to the News Gazette for a couple of Vermilion County stories. The first is entitled 18-year-old charged in death of woman found in motel room. And this is by Noel McGee. Danville. An 18-year-old Danville man was formally charged Monday in the death of a St. Joseph woman who was found unresponsive earlier this month in a Danville motel room. Henry D. Graham was charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of obstruction of justice in the January 3rd death of Tara Jackson. Wearing a gray hoodie, Graham appeared at his hearing in Vermilion County Circuit Court via video conference. Associate Judge Karen Wall read him the charges, in which prosecutors said he allegedly performed the acts that caused Ms. Jackson's death, among other things, and wiped down her vehicle. Graham looked nonchalant throughout the hearing, including when Wall told him that if convicted of murder, he could be sentenced to 20 to 60 years in prison or 60 to 100 years under an extended term, and if convicted of obstruction of justice, he could face 1 to 3 years or 3 to 6 years under an extended term. Graham told Wall he plans to hire a private attorney. Vermilion County State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey asked Wall to set Graham's bond at $7 million, saying that he and Ms. Jackson knew each other and had an intermittent personal relationship. Lacey said that on January 2nd, Graham and Mrs. Jackson rented a room at the Super 8 Motel in Danville. On January 3rd, the motel's cleaning staff found Ms. Jackson unresponsive in the room with a pillow over her face. Lacey said an autopsy showed that Ms. Jackson died of manual strangulation and smothering, with evidence of pressure on the neck and over the face, and that Graham made statements to police implicating himself in Ms. Jackson's death. Lacey also pointed out that Graham has a criminal history as a juvenile dating back to 2014. It includes serving time in the Juvenile Department of Corrections for robbery. Wall set Graham's bond at $5 million, meaning he must post $500,000 in order to be released. His next court appearance is set for 9:30 a.m. on January 18th. And this story from the local section of the News Gazette entitled "Solar Firm Hoping for OK on Permits." Danville. One of the half-dozen companies considering Vermilion County sites for construction of a solar farm is hoping Danville aldermen go against the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission and issue special use permits for three sites west of the city. On January 3rd, the city's Planning and Zoning Commission denied permit requests from Novel Energy Solutions for three sites along Old Ottawa Road. The three open spaces are currently zoned agriculture, and the Minnesota-based company would need special use permits to build any of the 1 to 2 megawatt community solar farms that it's proposing. Aldermen get the final say on the matter and are scheduled to vote at today's meeting, which begins at 6 p.m. As part of the state's Future Energy Jobs Act, the Illinois Power Agency will conduct a lottery later this month for solar developers to receive contracts that lead to renewable energy tax credits. Utilities, like Ameren, buy the credits, but demand for the contracts will likely exceed supply. Not every solar project site being proposed by developers across the state will be built, but the companies must have zoning approvals and other agreements in place prior to applying. Vicki Haugen, president of Vermilion Advantage, said Novel isn't the only developer proposing a solar farm site in Vermilion County in advance of the state lottery. She said her office has dealt with at least six companies looking for assistance in identifying potential sites. "Yes, the activity has been brisk," she said. Generally, she said companies are looking for open land sites, vacant lots, or farmland that are within a certain distance of a major Ameren substation. And that was by Tracy Crane. This story is entitled "Learn About Plants and Gardening Myths," and it is a staff report from the Commercial News. Covington, Indiana. Purdue University Extension and University of Illinois Extension will host their annual Bi-State Gardening Conference on Tuesday, January 22nd, at the Beef House Restaurant, 16501 Indiana Route 63. Registration begins at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the presentations will begin at 6:45 p.m. following a dinner. This year's conference will consist of two presentations: "The Green Pathway to Invasion: Invasive Plants and Landscaping" by Chris Evans, University of Illinois Extension Forester. While invasive plants are nearly universally recognized as a major threat to the natural ecosystems, this was not always the case. In fact, we have a checkered past in terms of actions taken to introduce and promote exotic plants that ultimately ended up being invasive. Evans will explore the history of invasive species in the landscape trade, why some plants end up becoming invasive, invaders that are still in the ornamental trade, and what we as landowners and concerned citizens can do to help. Gardening Under the Influence of Myths by Bill McKnight, also known as the Mad Botanist. Many gardening practices result from blind faith acceptance and often are irrelevant or counterproductive. These methods often have no scientific basis, are developed from an underlying truth, or are simply too ingrained. McKnight, botanist and author of Rantings of a Mad Botanist, a comprehensive guide to gardening and land use practices emphasizing central Indiana, will expose and discuss many of these myths. The cost for the program is $20, which includes dinner, payable online or at the door. Pre-register by calling 217-333-7672. And we have this story from the Tribune News Service about the recent snowstorm, titled Area Cleans Up After Storm Prepares for Another. Just as central Illinois digs itself out of 2019's first significant winter storm that dumped more than 9 inches of snow over the Decatur area and around 4 inches or so in Danville, comes news of a new snowstorm heading this way. Weather experts say the second storm of the season is due to hit around Friday, and especially Friday night. But it's just too far out at the moment to say how bad it will be. Right now, the models are all over the place. John Parr, hydrometeorological technician with the National Weather Service in Lincoln, told the Herald and Review in Decatur. Asked whether there was a possibility the storm could be as significant as the one we've just endured, Parr added, "Well, it's a possibility. I'd say we need another 3 days for this model to firm up." Recent warmer weathers have cut back on significant snowfall, with the last major event dumping more than 11 inches dating back to 2015. This most recent snowstorm far exceeded that total in some places, said Parr, with Jacksonville recording a hefty total of 16 inches, while most of the Decatur area was hit with it between 9 and 9.5 inches. In Springfield, the Springfield State Journal Register reports that the state capital broke a 55-year record for daily snowfall on Saturday. It cites the National Weather Service as saying the 8.4 inches of snow that fell on the city broke a previous record for January 12th, set in 1964 with 6.6 inches. The Charleston area reported a coating of 6.5 inches overall. And finally, we have in the community brief section for Danville, Culver's helps music boosters. Culver's of Danville, 3210 North Vermilion Street, will donate a portion of its sales 5 to 8 p.m. today to the Danville High School Choral Music Boosters. Help remove wreaths. Volunteers are needed to help remove wreaths at the Danville National Cemetery at 11 a.m. Saturday. More than 4,000 wreaths were placed across the Wreaths Across America ceremony in December. For information, call Tammy Williams at 516-2354. Anyone with a pickup truck and or trailer is encouraged to participate. And Library Plans Events. A tween 3D printer class will begin at 4:30 p.m. Thursday in Danville Public Library's Children's Program Room. Registration is required. The class is limited to 5 participants, for tweens ages 8 to 11. Also Thursday, tween gaming is a chance for children ages 8 to 11 to game together in the Children's Program Room from 6 to 7 p.m. And this ends the reading of the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you, and I wish you a fantastic day. Take care.